Why are we discussing Israel? If we're discussing mitzvot, why all of a sudden are we jumping from kosher to the land of Israel? We're going to spend three classes discussing Eretz Yisrael. Why would that be? Why is this one being singled out for this course, do you think? Remember, the topic is mitzvot, right? And the effects of mitzvot. Give me some... Hello?
Yes.
These are not rhetorical questions. I'll take some answers, please. Not from the same people. Yeah, okay, Malik, let's go.
Some are only done in Israel. Like, some mitzvot can only be done in Israel.
Okay, number one. Some mitzvot can only be done in Israel. What is that called in Hebrew? Mitzvot that are halui ba'aretz. They're telling you they're only kept in Israel. Does anyone know? You've not been in my class before. How many or what percentage of mitzvot can only be kept in the land of Israel? Give me some percentages. Let's go. Some percentages. Throw it out. What percentage of mitzvot can only be kept in the land of Israel? Give me a percentage. 30.
Twenty-5%.
Anybody else? No. Any other offers?
I would say majority.
25, 30?
Like 50.
53%. Of the mitzvot can only be kept in the land of Israel. Out of 613. Why are we going to discuss Israel? Because we're going to see the whole point of Israel, according to all the Mepharshim, all the commentators we're going to see, is in order to do the mitzvot in them. Moshe Rabbeinu was really upset that he wasn't allowed to Eretz Yisrael. Why was he so upset? Not because he wanted to go and sit on the beach in Tel Aviv. He didn't want to hang out in Eilat. He was upset because he wanted to do the mitzvot in Israel, because there were many, many mitzvot that were blocked from him because he wasn't in the land of Israel. And therefore he was missing out on over 50% of the Torah that he wanted to do. That was his desire, to get into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to exist and to do the commandments in Eretz Yisrael. That's his key. Monique.
Which commentator said that all the mitzvot outside of...
That's going to be the Ramban. We're going to see them as preparation for those in Israel. We're going to see that Ramban inside, God willing. We're going to see many, many more commentators. That's number one. Any other reason? That's a pretty big reason, by the way. If we're discussing the impact of mitzvot on a person, Eretz Yisrael is going to have to be brought up in this course because that's the key. Right? Two. How do we describe Eretz Yisrael? Eretz.
Well, that means
it's the Holy Land. There is something diametrically different about the land of Israel. It's not the same as other countries. There's something unique about it. Says the Rambam, based upon the Gemara, every four amot you walk in Israel is a mitzvah. When I was a kid, when I heard that, we like, it's a mitzvah. The land of, just walk in the land of Israel is a mitzvah. You know, the Gemara says there were people, Amorim, who would teach Torah in Israel, and they would do it, listen very carefully. Unfortunately, this is lost today, but you should know this. And they would walk around cleaning the dirt and the litter around Israel so that people shouldn't say Israel's a dirty country, because that's Lashon Hara about the land of Israel. And we had a history of Lashon Hara being spoken about the land of Israel. And I don't think of a famous case of Lashon Hara being spoken about the land of Israel.
Yeah.
The Marauder spies. And for that, we as a nation weren't allowed to go in because we were Makabal Lashon Hara. And these rabbis would teach classes, they would teach in a way that when the sun would come up, they didn't want it to hurt, they didn't want it to shine on the people because it would get too hot for them. So they would position the class in Israel, not that the sun would shine upon them, so they wouldn't say, oh, it's so hot here. That's Lashon Hara, the land of Israel. It's a holy land. You won't speak bad about Torah. You can't speak bad about the land of Israel. And be very, very careful. The Meraglim learnt it. The Jewish people learnt it. And what was their punishment? The entire Jewish people were not allowed into the land of Israel. And they all had to die off and their kids went in. Why is this? Because Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh. Eretz Kodesh. It's got an inherent Kedusha. Every four steps you take. What are the reasons? So we're going to see that the mitzvot that we keep in Eretz Yisrael are not like the mitzvot we keep outside of Israel. The mitzvot are worth more. They're better. There's Shabbat in Chutz La'aretz, and there's Shabbat in Eretz Yisrael. There's Pesach in Chutz La'aretz, there's Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. There's more. The Ramban we're going to look at, you just mentioned, is even going to say something which is mind-blowing. And actually the Ramban includes living and moving to Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. It's one of the Tariag mitzvot. Not everyone does, but the Ramban does. And he goes for us to say that the mitzvot we do outside of Israel are just there to prepare us for when we do go to Eretz Yisrael. You get rewarded, but they're less like training programs. Because real mitzvot are Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ramban, who made his life mission to go to Eretz Yisrael, and did go and died in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says, even, first of all, being buried in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Rashi says on Chumash that at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, all the bodies are going to have to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the ones that are outside are going to have to roll through tunnels so they reach Eretz Yisrael and pop up over there. Whatever that means, but that's Rashi, it's Peshat. The Gemara says, and not only that, even maybe dying in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Your soul leaving in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah as well. Eretz Yisrael is not a new creation. Now we know that, but much of the world doesn't. They say and they claim, and you're going to hear this and read this all the time on social media, that the relationship of the Jewish people, the land of Israel, is a new thing. Go back to 1948. Really, the homeland of the Jewish people is Poland. They don't talk about us, Sephardim, obviously. They put us aside. And they came along. And really, there's no relationship between the Jews today and the Jews of Eretz Israel, and the Torah today and the Torah of Eretz Israel. I will point out to you the land of Israel and eventually Yerushalayim are mentioned hundreds of times in the Torah. Hundreds, 800-900 times, Israel. It is a central feature of Torah. And it was a promise that was given to the Jewish people. Oh. Sorry, some of these sheets are upside down. Okay. Turn to page 1. Oh, sorry, page 2 rather. Sorry, they're printed badly. I apologize. They did like this one. Okay. So the Jewish connection to Eretz Yisrael did not start at Mount Sinai, like the other mitzvot. The connection to the Torah itself goes right back. I didn't even mention over here, but the first Rashi on Chumash. Does anyone know that very famous Rashi? You may have learned it in school, the yeshiva. What does that Rashi tell us? Bereshis, Bishvil Reshis, for the Jewish people, the Torah was created, for Torah. And then it says, over there, remember?
Isn't that like, why doesn't the Torah start with...
Why doesn't the Torah start at the first mitzvah, which is... Very, very good. Achodesh Zelachem. Right? We were told to count the months and the moons from Mitzrayim. What does Rashi answer? The first Rashi on Chumash, at creation of the world. What does Rashi answer? You've got to look at this Rashi inside. Oh, yeah, I didn't bring it down. I should have included it. What does Rashi answer to that? Rashi says, you know why the Torah begins in Bereshis, creation of the world, and not with the first mitzvah, which is the point of Torah? Rashi says, because at some time, the non-Jewish nations are going to say, you, the Jewish people, are thieves. You stole our land from us, the land of Israel. And he says, incredibly, that we'll have an answer and say, hey, who gave the Jewish people the land of Israel? It wasn't through conquest. It was promised to our forefathers. And therefore, who created the world? God. So there's a connection between creation of the world and the land of Israel for the Jewish people, because the one who gave us the land is God. And he created the world, and he decides who gets which part of the world, and he says we get Israel. That is our claim to the land of Israel. That's our original claim. There are other claims through history, but that's the original claim according to Rashi. Other nations will be like, you don't deserve it. Why'd you get this land? And we're like, God created the world. He decides who gets it. That answer of Rashi appears at the beginning of creation, which means that Hashem created the world in order to give the land of Israel to the Jewish people. Why else would Rashi be mentioned in his opening pasuk? There aren't even any humans yet. He just created heaven and earth. And already it's describing, oh, the land of Israel to the Jewish people. You know what I'm saying? Rashi is not giving his opinion. He's telling us implicit in the pasuk, Bereishis bara Elohim es hashamayim ves haaretz, is the giving of the land of Israel to the Jewish people. That's how far it comes back. It's not mentioned in the pasuk, but according to Rashi, it's implied in the words. But the land of Israel is mentioned explicitly. Let's do just the first few of them, and we'll pick this up next class. In Bereishis, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu to leave his land, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha, Mi'aretzecha, U'mimelaretzecha, Beit Avicha, from your land, your birthplace, from your home, El Ha'aretz Asher Eka, to the land I'm going to show you. Now, interestingly, it doesn't tell us the land, which land it was. But later on, it informs us, this is the land of Eretz Yisrael. Why? V'asa l'goy gadol v'arecha agad l'ashamecha v'ayyabracha. I'm going to make your name great, I'm going to bless you, and your name shall be a blessing. That was the connection. What did... Now, I'm going to elongate this point over here, but we are going to discuss this when we discuss Mashiach. So I'm just encoding one thing into your brains right now. What did Avraham Avinu have to do... Actually, I heard Reuven Feinstein... Well, Moshe Feinstein's son speak yesterday. He's a Rosh Hashiva. And he mentioned this idea, interestingly enough. But I was planning on mentioning it anyway. What did Avraham Avinu need to do before he was allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael? He had to do something. Avram could not enter, but Avraham could. What was that something? Anna, Adana? Right. And that came before he... Brit Milah, yeah. We're going to see a connection between that particular mitzvah and those who do it, including the Muslims, and the land of Israel. There is a strong connection the Torah makes between the land of Israel and the Brit Milah. That circumcision. Just put that away, store that away in your head somewhere. We're going to revisit that point a little bit later. Now, Avraham was promised the land of Israel, but so was Yitzhak. Why would Hashem need to promise Avraham and Yitzhak the land of Israel? And by the way, to make the question even harder, he also promised it to Yaakov. Why would Hashem have to promise Avraham? Just promise Avraham, your descendants will get this land, and that's good enough. Why would Hashem have to promise Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov? Because Avraham had other children, Yishmael. So had it just been Avram, you would have thought that Yishmael and his descendants get it as well. And I says, fine. So Avram gets it, but you know who else gets it? Yitzchak. But you know what? We have to also tell the Yaakov, because Yitzchak had a Esau. And it's not for Esau. He gets other parts of the world. Actually, interestingly, Yishmael are not given specific territory in the world. I mean, they come from Paran, from the desert land. But Yishmael and his descendants do not get any land. So Hashem had to promise Avraham, and then he had to promise Yitzhak, so he's giving a very specific line. Make no mistake, it's not just Avram. It's Yitzhak through Avram. And not just Yitzhak through Avram, it's also Yaakov through Yitzhak through Avram. And Yaakov stops over there because all Yaakov's children became the Shvatim. All the Jewish people come from Yaakov, which is why Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael. And not only that, Moshe Rabbeinu was also promised that the Jewish people would be taken there. Let's have a look at these verses. Note 2. V'yara l'kav Hashem, alter Mitzrayim v'shken ba'aretz asher amar alecha, gur ba'aretz hazot v'ye'imcha v'aracha, whoever bless you shall be blessed. Ki l'zarecha eten kol ha'aretzot ha'el, hakimoti etz ha'shvua asher nishpati l'Avraham avicha, and I promise you, you're going to get this land, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as well, and your name will become synonymous with the land itself. Yaakov becomes Yisrael, because only his descendants get the land of Israel. That's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Hudi, Yisachar, Zvon, and Dan, Yisachar, Asher, Yosef, and Binyamin. The land gets divided up among all of them. And Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is important, because we're going to see, ladies, the whole reason the Jewish people were taken out of Mitzrayim was to actually get us into the land of Israel. Har Sinai and the Torah was a stop along the way. A question you can think about for next class is why the Torah was given outside of Eretz Yisrael when really most of the mitzvot are for Eretz Yisrael. So that is something you can ponder yourselves. Okay. We did a lot today. I need some breakfast. I'll see you all, God willing, on Thursday. Please bring these sheets with you.